So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. I got that's smiles. Well, I didn't get any audio, but I got smiles out of them. That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it?
Your sailors bold and hear the tale we sing of Dr. D and Scarlet Widow, who are the stormy rings. With clever hands and daring dreams, inventor of soup, held anchors grasp. In every port the legend grew, the tales unsurpassed. Oh! Raise the back and hoist the sails, for the seas we roam. The cauldron bubbles rich in war, our hearts they call it home. With spices from the seven seas and tales of daring flight, we toast to her, our captain true, new moon and stars so bright. In tempest wild or calm a sea, the courage never fails. A master of the winds and waves, on every ship they sailed. With potion soups and remedies, they healed the sailor's blight. Cunning plans and haughty meals would steer us through the night. Oh! Raise the flag and hoist the sails, for the seas we roam. Bubbles rich in war, our hearts they call it home. With spices from the seven seas and tales of daring flight, we toast to her, our captain true, new moon and stars so bright. Gales and waters deep, Dr. D's guidance was our guide. The Scarlet Widow, fierce and proud, with honor and with pride. Inventor of soup on the ocean vast, his name forever sung. An inventor, a captain, a jaunty lass, upon the seas they flung. Oh! Raise the flag and hoist the sails, for the seas we roam. The cauldron bubbles rich and warm, our hearts they call it home. With spices from the seven seas and tales of daring flight, we toast to her, our captain true, new moon and stars so bright.
Hello, Buccaneers. This is your host, D to the D, Dr. D, reaching out through the supervision free source of Spanish Maining. I'm here with two new crewmates for the Arachne crew as we plunder the Spanish Main. Their names are Daniel and Allison. Welcome to the crew. You've been press ganged.
Okay. Happy to be here.
You know, it's funny you're happy to be here. I'm also happy to be here. Kara's also here. Hi, Kara.
Yar.
We're here to talk about Summer Plunder some more. I know the last episode was about that, but we're going at it from a whole new direction here. We're coming at it from the direction of opportunistic aqua-based mercantilism, which is to say people call them pirates. Pirates spelled with a Y, of course, because back then they didn't know how to speak English, even though the English invented the English language. What a bunch of idiots, right?
Like,
so anyway.
It's spelled with a Y, like the flute.
It's not even pronounced flute. It's pronounced like flight or something like that. Apparently I learned that recently.
Wow.
It doesn't make sense. But anyway, we are going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about Daniel and Allison's experience with the Summer of Plunder campaign, because our friend Daniel here is the leader of the pirate faction for 2025 Summer of Plunder.
Yar.
Yar.
We got a lot of yars. But today, of course, we have to thank our digital nomad. Thank you very much, Cyril S., Derek S., Quim B., Nick B., and Aleph is the way. We could not do the show without you. I promise the weird costs that this show accrue. It adds up pretty quick, and your dedicated support really does help the show go. We could not do it without you. And if I ever see you out there, I'll buy you an ice cream. And that's a promise. That's a Dr. D promise right there. Arachne is part of the Professional Casual Network. If you'd like to support the network, please sign up for our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com. Professional Casual Network. Why not personally sponsored by my new hobbies? They're paints that I use the most, and they're really cool. If you want to come to the Twitch, we do it all the time over there on Mondays, Sundays, and Thursdays at around 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you want to see me eat paint, and I mean, paint models and do really cool stuff, I'll do anything that you ask me to do. Please just give me bits, I guess, or something. Please, you know, I'm doing the little thing where I take my fingers and I push them together. I'm just so awkward. Please come hang out with us. I'm nice. Baron of Dice also makes some of the coolest dice in the biz. Use the code Arachne to get yourself a swanky little 5% discount. They do now have the Blood and Plunder dice sets as well as Oak and Iron. And the Blood and Plunder ones also work for Port Royal, obviously. So if you are interested in having some themed dice for a little bit cheaper, go ahead and use the code Arachne. Or don't. I'm not your dad. Do whatever you want. And if you... And don't forget, we cannot forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser at MrLaserSquare.site. And of course, Nuds. I still haven't put the thing in the show notes because I'm stupid and I really don't know what I'm doing. But if you really want the link, just, I don't know, message me on Discord. It's probably easier because half my brain is probably rotted from, I don't know, the heat that's been going on up here in the Boston area lately. And of course, the events we have coming up, the Manhunt narrative event for Infinity happening at Tabletop Nexus July 22nd. There's an Infinity tournament happening at Webway Games, Marlborough, Massachusetts on August 17th. Gen Con is happening on August 1st and 2nd. Our guests here are from the Indiana area, so they might even meet you there. You can give them a crisp high five and maybe buy them an ice cream. What do you think about that? You like ice cream? Okay. Nova's happening in Washington, D.C. August 28th. Nexus Cube Free or Die is happening September 13th. There is a Warcrow event called the Husk Halloween October 11th at Tabletop Nexus. And then there's the Beantown Beatdown December 6th and 7th at Everwinter Gaming Convention. Downtown Boston, baby. Use the code SPRING10 to get yourself a 10% discount. And if you join the Infinity event, you get put into a drawing for a really, as they say up here, wicked pissa of a painted tag. It's really, really good. I know the guy who painted it. His name is Painter Jay. He's a beautiful man. I would caress his face if he let me, but unfortunately the legal system doesn't let you just do that. So, you know, joke's on him. All right. So guys, enough about that. We're here to talk about stuff. So guys, welcome to the show. Have you listened to the show before?
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't. I'm sorry.
So there we go. It's about 50-50. Maintaining averages. So yes, thank you very much for coming on. Let me just give a little preface for what's about to happen. So I was approached by Kara, who has been playing for Pirates for the Summer Plunder thing, that people really enjoyed the episode that we did for the English. I got a lot of really good feedback on it. And she said, well, why don't I invite the pirate leader on here? And I was like, sweet, finally, somebody will do some networking other than me. What a dream job I have now accrued. She's the best significant other I think I've ever had in my entire life. Here we go. We did it. So she told me that Daniel, who is the leader, had a sister who plays the game with him. And let me just tell you, something I have learned in life is that a family that slays together stays together. And that's what you just love to see. That's the Arachne way right there. So if you have a sister who is even remotely interested in having model game stuff happening, you should definitely invite them. This stuff is definitely more approachable to women than I think from ever before. So it's really, really cool that she's here playing games with us, and she should be welcomed with wide, loving arms. Legally, distance, of course, similar to me and Painter Jay.
Let your significant other female give her the hug, okay, guys?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Do it through them, you know, like living vicariously. Hugs. So guys, anybody that comes on to the show, if you're a new guest, you have to answer, what is the nerd origin story? Go ahead.
I guess I'll go first. So my nerd origin story is kind of a big question. Nerddom's like a really big country, but I got like three kinds of nerddom that kind of brought me into the hobby. So first, I'm really a history nerd at my core. Basically, since I've been able to read, I've been reading, you know, Greek history, Roman history, you know, basically European history. And then, you know, you dabble in this, that, and the other. I pretty much love all history, but I always tend to gravitate towards like this transition between like the medieval world to the early modern world. So that kind of aimed me here. As a young kid, I'd also like set up these big battle dioramas, with Legos or army men or knights or whatever. And I'd do this for hours. So these dioramas have always been kind of like a big part of my life. And then also board games. So board games have always been, you know, big part.
Well, I love to hear that. I mean, as far as ancient history goes, I agree. I think that the transitionary periods are definitely the most interesting. I think from the Dark Ages, like from the Romans to the Dark Ages, and then you got like the feudal era leading into the Renaissance. I think that's just, it's really cool to see those explosion of new ideas start to take over. And yeah, it's cool. It's good stuff. And what about you, Miss Allison?
Yes, similar kind of thing. I realize it's kind of, it felt like you asked me, how did I learn English? I was very much born into it. Everyone in our house, we were all different kinds of like history nerds. Daniel, he mentioned he used to make these dioramas and spend hours. Our entire basement would be like a big diorama set. And it was definitely really cool. But yeah, so I felt like I was definitely like born into it. I found more of a niche interest in like the mythology sides and then fun animal facts, because, you know, everyone does. But it was when I went to college, I spread out and I got into like anime and like the online nerdum, and I went really hard into that, but it was like in my college years and then after college that I started exploring all the other nerdums, and then I deep dove into D&D and I got really into that kind of like story-based tabletop games and that kind of stuff. I got so into it, I bought a player's handbook when I had nobody to play with, and out of frustration of, again, just like being super excited about all by myself, I finally went online and tabletop simulator, and I found those like open chats, and I found a really great group of people that were willing to play D&D with me. I also tried to conscript my family into a D&D game where I was like leading a one-shot. I learned how quickly you can see things descend into murder hobo and like where the murder hobo is. Yeah,
my wife is the murder hobo.
Yeah.
I set a bit of a scene and I asked them to introduce themselves, and it was not a full minute later, Daniel's wife did murder him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
And then I've been living in Indianapolis for the last couple of years, and I started to go to Gen Con because it's amazing and super duper fun, and everybody who can go should go. But I've been begging my brother to go because he's always been like the we all loved board games growing up, and like we were super intense about it. But as adults, Daniel's kind of been like the board game king in our house. So I was like, Daniel, you need to come check this out. Like, you would get along with all these people and everything. And then finally this year, after he realized that this game that he got super into is also there, I was like, yes. So I'm really excited to go do that with him this year.
I will say, anybody who has listened to my own personal history, Gen Con was the first big convention that I went to. It is very fun. If you are worried about going to a big con, Gen Con is one of the biggest. And there are a lot of nerds wandering around the streets of Indiana. Let me just tell you that right now. So if you go, if you're a little worried about it being your first experience and it being so big, that was the first one we went to. I had a fantastic time. I would say the first time you go, don't overschedule yourself. That was one of the big issues that I think a lot of people I knew had when they went for the first year. I would just kind of go and just be casual about it. Just see the sights of the con hall itself, because the con hall is huge. It takes over the football stadium that's right next there, right next door, and it's a fantastic time. So if anybody here has an opportunity to go to Gen Con to play Blood or Plunder or otherwise, highly recommend it. It's a fantastic time. You'll make memories. I have a lot of pictures of me in my underwear with my friends in the hotel room holding each other. It's just what you do. You know, they're your friends. You just want to hold on to them. And sometimes people take embarrassing photos of it. No, you can't see them, Painter Jay. You've already denied me. You don't get to see those things, okay? So there you go.
Doggy!
There's now a doggy in the camera. Here's welcome to the new guest.
A ship dog.
She's a pirate dog. She actually is a pirate dog.
Oh!
She's got the colors.
Yeah. You can't tell because her fur is so black. She did lose an eye, so yeah. She is an official pirate dog.
Official pirate dog.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Go on.
So, obviously, the Blood and Plunder is the linking factor between all of us. So the obvious question remains, how did you find Blood and Plunder, Mr. Dan?
Yeah. So I actually kind of got into it in a roundabout way. So I went garage sailing back in 2021 and I found a HeroScape box. And I'd grown up with HeroScape, but I kind of like left that whole thing. So I got really back into it and I started buying proxies and painting them up. And then I kind of got into more models. And then I saw a 2+ Tough video where he was talking about Blood and Plunder. And I was like, those models would look great on a hero skateboard. So I bought those, painted them up. And then I was like, well, this game actually looks pretty cool. So I played a couple like war games lightly, mostly solo and a little bit on TTS. And then I checked out the Discord, the Firelock Discord. And I actually got hooked up with the Spanish second-in-command this year. He showed me how to play the game. So he was in town and did a demo, and instantly I was hooked. It was like the perfect combination of like gunpowder and, you know, movement on the board. And it was just, I was just instantly hooked.
Oh, so you don't mind reloading your guns. You're like, yes, this is correct.
Yes. Yes.
See, I'm like, why didn't they just get reloaded at the end of the turn? I feel that's just part of shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could always just like charge in or get brace of pistol, right? No need to reload those.
Yeah, brace of pistol rocks.
I don't know if you guys noticed this or have ever noticed, but the pirate faction has this unit called Pirates. They cost 3 points and they have brace of pistols. It's crazy. And they're trained. It's wild.
I think it's perfectly balanced.
No one ever has a problem with this.
I love being drunk. Being drunk is my favorite because it sounds bad, but it works so well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's also fun. Like if guys with Granados showing up drunk and then they can drop them. So I don't know. I just love the idea of drunk pirates dropping grenades.
They're having a good time. Just let them do their thing. They're having a great time. And how about you, Mrs. Allison? How did you find Blood and Blood?
Through my brother. No, I, like I said, we both had like grown up and as adults found our own like nerdums and found different tabletop games that we were interested in. And we kind of connected over that. And then I, like I said, was hesitant to go towards war games because very crunchy and it is a little intimidating. But the thing that really sold me was Daniel had these cute, these cool figures. And he's like, Allison, look at these badass ladies. How about we play a game where you get to like play out a fight scene with these characters? And I was like, hell yeah. Cause like I was excited to, you know, every game I want to try it. But I am very much still to this day when I'm playing through the fight scenes, like you were saying, it's fun to think of like, oh, they're drunken, so they drop their thing. I love instantly giving all my sailors backstories. And like when one dies, it's like he was the ugly one, so he was pushed to the front and like they actively threw him overboard and just filling in the storyline.
Mean girl pirates.
Yes.
Mean girls.
Mean girls. On Wednesdays, we make the seas pink with blood. It was after the first game where, again, he did tempt me in with the cute little figures that were painted really cool. And I was like, oh, these are awesome. And then it got me started. And he did kind of have to, like, hold my hand a bit for the more crunchy side of war games because I hadn't really done that. But it's been since we got started, I've gotten very I am competitive, and
she's good. She really knows how to work cavalry, which took me a long time to figure out, and she figured it out like super fast. So don't let her fool you. She's kind of mean.
Oh, she is a mean girl. Oh my god.
Oh, I never said I was nice, and if someone else said that, they were wrong. I am competitive and I do want to harm you. So it was Daniel that got me into it. It was realizing the story I could kind of tell and be more crunchy about it, because it is fun to have the like, oh, you need to load your pistols, because it creates a little bit more tension. I guess some people might be afraid of like the additional difficulty that adds, but at least for me, again, I think if you come at it from the story side, it can tell a better story.
And just so you know, I could not agree more on that. So as a narrative gamer myself, unfortunately, I've given up on RPGs, especially around here, just because of the fact that it's very hard to maintain a group.
Yeah,
so
impossible.
It's so difficult.
I found strangers. That was probably the most consistent.
You got to give up on your friends and family for sure. They want to support you, but they just cannot do it. It's impossible. So what I've decided I'm going to do locally is we're going to take the Blood and Plunder community that we have here, and we're going to do a narrative based event with this game. So I'm going to introduce some mechanics and stuff like that. We'll probably introduce some like Sea of Thieves type stuff where people like fight megalodons and all that kind of neat stuff. So it's interesting that you bring up that narrative aspect to it, where I think it adds a whole extra layer of fun to it. Cause even in the stream, we will name the boats and we'll name the characters and we'll do all these little things and we'll give them little stories or whatever. And so I think that if you have emotional attachments to things, to its own detriment for certain games, so like Port Royal is a good example of, you might have an emotional attachment to your militia guy and then he dies and you're like, no, I never want to play this game again. But I think any game that can get an emotional response out of you, I think makes it significantly better because it adds a layer on top of that decision.
You solved that by making them generational names. You just, you know, the first, the second, it's the same guy. Because like, I got really attached to my Boatswain Pascal, and I didn't want him to die. And then I was like, that's okay, because the next one can be Boatswain Pedro.
Yes, and he's there to revenge his father.
Exactly.
So Robert Beetlebug has become my generic commander, and every time he dies, his son, Robert Beetlebug, the whatever, will take over.
Currently, what are we on now?
Right now, we're still in the Patriarch. He hasn't been canned yet. So,
nice.
Unfortunately, Henry Morgan keeps taking the field, and I don't get a chance to use him very much because of all these. Listen here, okay? Before we get all official with all this talking points that we had planned for this show, I'm going to just say something real fast, okay, girlfriend? Let me tell you something. When it comes to these little bonus objectives that we're doing here for this campaign, why are the English ones so damn difficult when all the other ones are like, take a picture of your face? And then the English one is like, use an army that's god-awful and try and win. Just stand there, buy a building, jerk. And I'm like, what the heck is this?
I think you can take that up with English Command.
I did. And he was like, yeah. Okay. And he's like, I like to make you guys play the game differently. And I'm like, well, you did it. Great job.
Yeah. I like our stuff where it's like, oh, take a picture of yourself playing the game this week.
Yeah. Make a new cocktail. Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming. You want to announce that on here? Because I don't think it was like, it was super.
It's been announced, but it was in the Discord. So it's like, officially we should announce it on here. But yes, what week is that?
I want to say it was 3 weeks. I don't think it was six.
There's actually a new little decal or a new little thing that actually Allie made it. So that's in the chat.
That's super awesome that you're so involved. Let's cheer you on. Let him mention it.
Good job.
Okay, so week six, it's the Drunken Pirate Contest. So it was a big hit last year. So we're bringing it back again this year. We also have the new settlement bonus objective. That's everybody. But as an extra incentive, if you participate in it and you submit points for pirates, you have a chance to win some native allies. So we're doing that too.
Listen, when you have God and country on your side, you don't need no damn allies. Just do it yourself.
I don't agree. I think our native allies have been awesome so far.
They've been pretty cool dudes.
Yeah, they are. They're good. I like the natives.
Listen, there's only two things in this world I can't stand. It's people who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Pirates can agree with that wholeheartedly.
Speaking of the Dutch, what is it like to be a dirty water-based opportunist?
Hang on.
You're going to have to stop with this accusation terms, because basically you're in the English and they're barely privateers. They're pirates by another name.
Listen, we have an entire island that we can call home, so that makes it legal, and we have more flags than you. So,
just because your virgin queen said that you guys aren't pirates doesn't make you not pirates.
Listen, Francis Drake made it very clear that we hate the Spanish. Okay, so anyway, what's it like being a dirty water-based opportunist?
Sorry, we can all agree on that at least.
Yeah, I think so. I think we could all agree that the Spanish are the worst.
Yar.
So if you are the leader of the pirate faction, it sounds like, because of what Allison just said earlier about using cavalry, there is no cavalry in pirates, as far as I'm aware.
It's true.
So you guys must play other factions, I would assume?
Yeah. So Allie, I guess I'll let you talk, but you've been playing the Scottish a lot.
I've been playing the Scottish again. I play the Scottish because I have their cute little figures, and I have them surrounding their leader, who is a beautiful senora that they helped liberate from Spain, and now she's a pirate queen.
Aww. All right.
Yes. So she has her. I have them as musketeers, for the mechanics of it. But they're her bonded men. And they're just out there to wreck shit. And she's like, yeah, fuck Spain, fuck all you monarchs, and is like, go wrecking stuff. Out for hire and doing a bunch of other things. Story-based.
She sounds badass.
She is.
So, as a side of note, you might be very interested. I backed a Kickstarter a couple years ago called Hot and Dangerous, which is a historical-based pinup sexy lady... Oh. Different characters throughout history thing. I just built the Civil War one, which is a It's actually like two models that fit together because the base of the model is the United States. So it's like split between the North and the South. And then they actually, if you put them together, they're fighting. So there's like a Reb soldier and a Union and a Yankee soldier. So if you're interested, you might find some cool models you can fit into your stuff. It's called Hot and Dangerous.
They are all very hot. I love these models.
We're playing pretend on a board. Everyone's allowed to be hot. Yes.
So there you go. You guys can't see this, but I'm holding up the Bonnie the Emperor, which is a Napoleon sexy lady.
She's on
a sea.
So cute on her little horsey stick.
So very, very much historically related. So you might actually find a pirate one in there. I don't know if they have a pirate one. I own a lot of them. I don't have all of them. Anyway, side effect. Not sponsored by Hot and Dangerous, by the way. Excellent models. Go get them. I don't know if you can still get them. I think some stores still sell them, but they're very, very good. But anyway, Daniel, have you always been playing pirates, or do you deviate off to other stuff as well?
Yeah, so I actually was Spanish last year for the campaign. I know, but I discovered the error of my
hang it own. Up, guys. We're done. Wrap it up. This show's over. I'm not doing this anymore.
And we're done.
Yeah, I like to play all the different factions. I really do dabble quite a bit. It's such a cool game, and I love the idea of a guy with a musket's a guy with a musket. So I don't really feel bad proxying anything. At the end of the day, they more or less look appropriate. So that's always been fun. So, this week I'm right now I'm pirates, but outside of the summer plunder, a French force or an English force or whatever, it's just fun to get them all on the table and see how their tactics are different. So.
And I think, especially in this game, like you're alluding to, I guess, with this game, if you're playing a 17th century list, it's very interesting how all of them kind of co-mingle in a lot of ways. Like units really do cross over.
Yeah.
And whenever I see that, I think to myself something that they said in Game of Thrones, which was if you take a man and you throw a sword at his feet, and then there's a king, a nobleman, and a priest, and they all tell that person to kill the other two, what does he do, right? And it's super interesting to think there were so many different motives for the buccaneering people, at that time period. Some of them were religion based, kind of like the Spanish, and some of them were like, well, we got to do this for the French king because King Louis, the Sun King, is in charge around this time. And I just think it's a really cool interpretation of how to take those different motives and all kind of put them together. Because it's funny that there's an entire army with Brethren of the Coast where their literal army identity is we hate the Spanish.
Yep.
Let's beat them up. Let's work together to beat up the Spanish. So it's just really cool. Right. And I think that this game really pulls off that historical nuance pretty well. Kind of like we were alluding to earlier with Allison liking the crunch. It's interesting where you can have crunch in the game while also being historically thematic. And I assume that's one of the reasons why she likes the game so much is because those two things do cross over fairly well in this game. So I applaud that. Thank you very much, Firelock. Not sponsored by Firelock.
Oh, it's awesome. It's really cool to, I like you said, it's just neat to see a mechanically challenging game or interesting game. And at the same time, you could have Mosquito Zombo fighting a Caribbean, or excuse me, a Canadian militia. Like they would have never met, but you get to see how they could potentially interact on a board. Yeah, it's just neat.
Yeah, because our rules are definitely how they all fought.
Yes.
That's how they operated. Correct.
And as a quick aside, just to really put it into perspective, it has nothing to do with this game, but the weird interpretations we have of history where each country is kind of going through their own thing. If you think about when each country was doing a certain thing, the United States was going through the Wild West period, and there were still Japanese samurai that have existed.
Yep.
So just think about that for a second, where you're kind of like, the possibilities here are pretty endlessly cool, because at some point, even talking to Mike, the one of the creators of the game, he says that the South China Sea is very likely to be an inevitable thing that they put into the game. Lord, there's no idea when that's going to happen, but all of a sudden you're going to have black escaped slaves that live on Jamaica, they're going to be fighting, Spanish yunk pirate ships. And it's going to be really cool, right? Because you can do these little what if battles. And I just think that's...
I think there were actually several instances of, I don't know if it falls within the timeline, but of actual samurai in Mexico City who may have been mercenaries. So in real history. So, there's a spot for them now. Not saying, we need to add the Japanese at any point, but,
I don't I don't think any of us would be opposed to it.
If we're pitching ideas, I'm going to say her name wrong, but it's she's my favorite pirate queen because she was an absolute baddest of a pirate queen. Jingyi Cao. She's so cool.
Yes.
Her pirates had pensions.
Because she was a mother. She knew how to take care of everybody.
She was a motherfucking badass. I don't know if you swear, but oh my gosh. I feel like it's easier to summarize her when she decided that she was done with her reign as a pirate queen because she was a proper pirate queen. After she had a husband who had a bunch of fleets and then he died and she was like, mine. To end her career, she sailed her ships up the river to the Emperor of China at the time, walked in the doors and said, this is how it's going to end. And this is how you don't die. Here nice. I go.
Nice.
And she was so cool. I would love to play her.
I mean, I can see it happening. Imagine a legendary, legendary legion. That's Middle Earth. Legendary force, whatever you want to call them. That'd be a really cool thing to have. Just having, Japanese pirates and Chinese pirates. Yeah, but bro, endlessly cool.
Yes.
Anyway, so before we get too distracted, obviously this campaign is going on. As of time of recording, we just finished week 3. We're in week 4 currently. It's coming to a close-ish now. And pirates have maintained the lead, I think, every week so far.
We've been in second.
Yeah, but it's right. Natives have been first. And you guys have been trading with each other, which does imply that you guys are allied. And as a totally unbiased podcast on how that is interpreted, I'll just say it's disgusting. And you disgust me. And you should stop trading with people who aren't your friends. Because they're not your friends, and you know what? You need to.
Sounds like you're disgusted with money and winning, and that's your problem.
Yeah. They're both tools of cowards and criminals. You know what? You know what? Being a good Englishman, I eat my soft peas and cry while in the rain, while being highly intoxicated.
Your beans and toast, huh?
That's all you need to live in this world. Yar, be a proper sea dog. I yar.
Conquer the world with all the best spices and refuse to use them. I like it.
You know what I like to really perk up my day? Some water with some mud in it and some leaves. It really just perks me up, gets my day going.
Is this what the English chat is like in the Discord? Is just everyone being like,
No, it's mostly us just talking about where's our orders and where are we, like, what's the lieutenant request, which is our, like, little personal objectives that we do. Yeah. It's us talking about our infamy system, which is awesome, by the way.
Anybody that is a cool system.
It's cool. I'm surprised no other country's done it.
Yeah.
You could be Pirate Queen. That could be the top-ranked Pirate Queen.
Might have to add a title.
You know what? Maybe Allison will be the leader for Pirates next year. You never know.
Hey.
Well, so I have a question, Daniel. I want to know what it's been like to be the leader. Like, what does your week look like as the leader? And what are your different, like, tasks and deadlines and things like that?
Yeah. So I should mention Greg Padilla, Kraken Killer. He's been awesome. So he does all the write-ups each week. So he's the second in command. And you'll see him in the Discord chats, too. But he's really focused on that side of it. And then I guess I'm more or less focused on the strategic side and then the prizes as well, as we're just now starting to get into that. But really, Tuesdays are busy days. That's when last week's updates come out. And then there's a lot of chatter. So between different nations, it's also, so the pirates are a democracy. So we try to get those, try to get targets out in front of you guys early as possible each week. Give you guys time to vote on it and give you guys time to like debate and discuss. And we've had a lot of luck at this point, or up to this point, where it's just lots of good dialogue, lots of really good ideas. And so far we're in second, so it seems to be working.
For now.
I really like your process, and I think the polls are amazing. That just makes it so much easier to like focus on what are we talking about? what are we voting on right now?
Yeah, it can be, it's kind of, it's hard to distill everybody's ideas into one form, because I don't ever want to like exclude any one person's thoughts. But at the same time, you know, when you've got 10 or different targets, we need to pick a list. So those polls seem to help us kind of keep it straight.
And I would say that the democratic approach to it is very thematic for pirates, based on the fact that they were a quote unquote pirate republic. So they did vote for these things. And something that I think a lot of people don't know is that there is no like actual unifying pirate code. That was something that was made up in the Pirates of the Caribbean type thing. But whenever pirate captains would charter a ship, they would usually make a pirate code for each of their own ships. So it's kind of fun that you guys made your own little pirate code system type thing, which I imagine every year probably changes slightly, I would imagine. So if you go 1 year, it might be different.
A little bit, yeah.
But have you found that the democratic approach has worked? Obviously, it's doing well because you guys are doing very, very well. Do you think it is something that is giving you an advantage? Do you think it's been a disadvantage in any way to have so many people in the room talking?
It's very chaotic. So that's one thing. But this whole campaign's been pretty chaotic with the extra fog of war, along with I think we all saw some of the unaligned factions shenanigans. And then, I mean, early on, the French and Spanish alliance, all of this has been a lot of chaos, I think, for the campaign. So, yeah. But yeah, anyway, the campaign has been like a lot of chaos. And I think the pirates actually kind of thrive in chaos.
I was going to pitch in. I think it, whether or not it's been tactically the best, I feel like a lot of people signed up for pirates for more of that kind of like interaction of like, again, more chaotic. And then, I mean, like, I didn't just join pirates because Daniel was in pirates. It just also, I felt like thematically that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like anyone's upset if we do something that's tactically, like, silly, as long as we do something that's really fun.
And, yeah, as far as, just in case we're missing any points on the question, how has the campaign felt, like, better, you know, so far? Like, has the Discord been something that you think adds an extra layer to it in a way? Because, obviously, I've been in a lot of campaigns for a lot of different games, and I find that Discord's easily one of the best ways for people to communicate, especially since we've moved away from stuff like forums and all that. Have you ever done another campaign that hasn't had access to something where you can communicate as quickly as we do here?
No, this has been the instant communication has been awesome. The campaigns, it's felt chaotic, but it's been just super duper fun.
And how about you, Allie? Is there anything that you have found in this particular campaign that any highlights, any lowlights? And I'm not sure if there's a low light. I'm not sure if that's a word.
I mean, this is the first time I'm like in, like I learned Blood and Plunder this year. And like I said, got like familiar with it. I mean, the entire campaign, I find it so cool that my points have effects towards goals and we can have a group goal. As far as the communication thing is, I don't know why other systems don't use Discord more. I feel like it's the superior method in a lot of ways, but it's been really, really cool. And I do think there's, it's nice that you can kind of be involved as much as you want to be, because you're asking Daniel about like, you know, how much work he's been doing. I'm sure it's a lot. I'm not very helpful at all. I do. But so, and like, there was definitely a period of time that like I was working a lot more. And so I wasn't as involved on stuff, but I was still able to like do the games and follow along. And yeah, no, I think it's been good.
Daniel is like my security blanket in this game right now. Like anytime I have a question or a concern, I just type it in the Pirates channel and Daniel is like right there, like 5 seconds later, blah, 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 blah. Here's your answer. And I'm just like, okay, good.
Do you think you have future aspirations of being the leader next year? Because I think each person can be the leader twice, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure on the details on that. It's super fun. Potentially. Kind of depends, you know, if there's other pirates that want to do it too, you know. I'd hate to stifle someone else's opportunity. So
it's a big thing to take on. And I think anybody who wants to take that on is a fantastic human being, because that will never be me. But If you want to come over and play on our game board, I will definitely cook you dinner.
All right.
I will say, when Daniel found out about his promotion, he then, like, he let our family know. I told the rest of our family while we were all at dinner, because Daniel and I were talking about it, and we all congratulate Daniel on his promotion and have been very supportive.
See, you have that name drop effect now. You can go to like a Blood and Plunder event and you'd be like, well, listen, I beat you in this game. But you're like, yeah, well, I was the commander of the pirate faction in the 2000s.
Hey, there's so that. Yeah, I did. So there are commander cards. So the true. Dog you saw earlier.
That's very true.
The dog you saw earlier, I actually snuck her in. So she's as a miniature, she's on the card. So I think I'm the only, I've got the only commander card that's got a dog on it. So, you know,
I love that. I absolutely love that. So, as of now, we are a good chunk of the way through the campaign. You've probably learned some lessons. You've had a couple of weeks to kind of refine how it is that you do things on your end and the commander point of view, especially when you're herding the cats that are people that play mini games with ADHD. Huh? You know, take your medication, people. Please just focus. Just listen to the sound of my voice. So is there anything that you have learned that you think might be a good thing for other people to know?
Yeah. So I've learned that the more that the people talk in the channels, the more fun it is. And the easier it makes my job to figure out what people want to do. So that's super helpful. And it's just a fun interaction. And it doesn't, you know, not necessarily every day, even if it's like just dropping in and saying R, you know, raising a little black flag here and there. It does kind of help steer our course. I realize why no one has ceded territory in previous campaigns. Figured that out.
Because you, as of now, you sold back a Dutch territory.
Yeah. When we talked with Dutch Command, that was what we assumed was the bargain. Mm. So I think there was some miscommunication there.
But that adds to the whole fog of war thing, because there's even the possibility that some unaligned group of people might have kind of put their fingers in that pie or whatever.
That's true. That's true. There were lots of attacks from the Dutch on the pirates, but it could have been a lot of unaligned. So
because
How many unaligned do we have? Do we know?
There's a lot.
They have a leader too, though, right?
I think just recently. Yeah, I think they're doing something. I don't know. I don't know the details on that.
Because that also happened to us, where there was an attack, I think in the second week, that there was no intention of doing it. And something slipped through in like one of our attacks. We were just like, what happened? Yeah, it was quite strange. We were not expecting it. And then we had to redevelop our whole system to just make sure that that didn't happen again. So it's funny that that's the case. But it's good to know it didn't just affect us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it adds a lot to the campaign. It's fun. Like, at the end of the, like, we can be salty about it, but it's really cool and fun.
And how about you, Miss Allison? What have you learned? Anything that would be good to know?
How to play the game.
Excellent. That's a good first step.
I learned how to play the game, but I've just been having so much fun. Just getting more strategic with it and then engaging. And that I want to be better about engaging in the discourse and on the Discord and everything. Learn to play the game. And that, like, again, war games can be a little bit more approachable, like on a like larger scale. It's like, oh, okay, I have a better, I would feel more comfortable if I did find some interest in a different like kind of tabletop game. And I'm like, I have a better sense for like how these go. With D&D, which is like the biggest thing that I like game in before this, it's at the end of the day, tell a story. So, yeah.
So you like high narrative elements. I'm surprised you haven't done more Port Royal. Yes, mister.
Yeah. We haven't yet. That's something that I wanted to introduce you to the game of Port Royal as well. Or Port Royal. I know, because it's literally characters. So it's just, you know, I know this one system really well. So, and then there's only so many hours in an evening. So
so the one good thing about all of Firelock games is they play pretty similar. So I discovered Port Royal because we have a friend who is reviewing the game, Jeff. what is his channel? I always forget.
Defective Dice.
The Jeff at Defective Dice. And I was just, you know, watching YouTube one day. And so I was like, ooh, this game looks pretty cool. Dylan likes, you know, some historical games. Maybe he'd like to play this with me. And he thought I was teasing him. He thought it was not for real. He thought I was like gaslighting him or, you know, just trying to make fun of him. And I was like, dude, I really want to play this. And then we've been together 8 years as of the 20th of this month. And oh, I looked at him and I was like, dude, one of my great, 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 great grandfathers was a pirate, according to the family. Now, I can't prove it on Ancestry. It's just family stories. But maybe that's how it goes if your ancestor's a pirate. You can't prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. They didn't keep very good records, let's just put it that way. They weren't interested in logistics.
But luckily, he was willing to acquiesce and play the game with me, and he got me into Blood and Plunder. And I was like, no, 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 let's just do Port Royal. But as soon as I saw the ships, I fell in love. That's all I ever want to play is ship games. I love ships.
Yeah, the ships are a hard sale for this game, for sure. Definitely cool. Big plus. Big old plus.
But like but that made me, after playing Port Royal and Blood and Plunder, it made me think I could play other historical games. And Dylan has always talked about Napoleonics. Like, we have a long standing joke that he would never cheat on me. He would just be playing a Napoleonics game or researching Napoleonics uniforms for painting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so now like I am definitely wanting to play the Firelock Napoleonics game with him, because that will make him very happy to have those little Frenchmen.
It's true.
Yeah.
I do love a little tiny men and tiny little uniforms. It's all about
nice hats, old guard on the field, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't love a good weird hat?
Oh yeah.
They're a big thing. I'm pretty sure that's why the Catholic Church was so successful. Have you seen their hats?
It's true. Very, very large.
It's all hats. Yeah.
It's all hats. Oh my gosh.
One thing so, I... Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to...
No, I'm going to move to the next thing, so go ahead and finish it up.
So I was going to say that one thing this year that I learned about was TTS. So a Tabletop Simulator is awesome for Blood and Plunder land games. And I know a lot of guys have put a lot of effort into specifically the Blood and Plunder mod. It's worth checking out. If you have TTS, definitely check it out, because it's nice to play with people you would otherwise never, ever get a chance to play.
TTS is the only thing that got us through COVID. Like, even living in the same house, like TTS, the ability to play games that you may or may not want to buy without having to go out and buy them was also really amazing. I also really loved the Dune game on TTS. It was we have it. I think we have that game. Do we have the game, the physical game, Dylan? We bought it. No?
No, we got it on the phone. We got, because now that it's the card game. That's also a deck builder. The name is escaping.
Hold on, Daniel, maybe mute, because I think Willow's going crazy.
It's definitely my dog.
It's not Willow. Yeah. For once, it's not Willow.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry, I thought it was Daniel. You don't have to mute your dog. Only Daniel needs to mute.
Yeah, no, it's hard to edit that out, actually.
I don't think anybody really, really cares that much. But but yeah, so it leads into the final question before we do a little trial by fire word association thing that I've begun doing. Okay. Daniel.
Yeah.
Are you good at this game?
I'm good at having a fun time.
That is the right answer. I love that answer.
Yeah, I always prioritize like silly over good. And so I have a pretty cyclical job. So it's like, I'm really, really busy like 1 week out of the month. So 3 weeks out of the month, sometimes I'm just like playing with the list builder, you know, but I'll do things like make a land swivel list or make a Danish smoke pot list. And they usually aren't broken. But they're definitely not, you know, good. So I like to run with a concept and see how far I can get it to go, and have fun with it. But yeah, like for me, the whole fun is the interaction between two different strategies. I enjoy winning, but I'd much rather like it be a really close loss in the last round than have a blowout win halfway through the game.
I don't know. I mean, I have had my Batuti handed to me and still had an amazing time, especially if my pirates are drunk. There's just nothing better than dying even though you're drunk, because like you had a really good chance of killing him too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the drunk pirates are
The drunk pirates are absolutely awesome, but an epic failure can be just as satisfying as an epic
game. Yeah. This is the only game I've ever had so much fun losing. Like, I'm like, oh, well.
Well, I'd love to hear that. So that raises the question. Allison, are you good at this game?
I am improving at this game, and my competitive spirit has made up for my lack of... Oh God, what's that word?
Wait, tactical experience. Acumen.
Lack of experience, yeah. Tactical acumen. oh my gosh, yeah. I think I got really good at battering ram with my boats. That's something we've added to the roster. No, I'm getting better, learning different things and having fun with this game. But you know, I'm really just out to beat my brother as much as possible.
Yeah, and you do.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, he's obviously bringing suboptimal lists. I mean, he's just opening himself up to a can of butt kicking.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to see it on the table.
What were you going to say, Carol?
I forgot.
She's forgot. Here we are. We did it again.
Daniel, you mentioned that you have a rather cyclical job. Do these people know that you're an accountant?
I don't know. Not that it matters.
Daniel's an accountant. That's what he didn't reference.
I don't know that matters.
I don't know. I mean, being an accountant says a lot about a person. Like, you might be a really good sharpshooter, but we definitely know you know how to gyrate some of those spreadsheets real well.
Wow. Who doesn't love a good spreadsheet gyrating?
Accountant gyration.
I am a freak in the sheets. So.
Excellent.
I hope you have that shirt. I really hope somebody bought you that shirt.
I literally have a coffee mug. It's a thing.
So I have started to do this because I find that it's very fun to hear different people's interpretations of different things as far as it comes to like game rules. So there is a word association game, which you may have heard in the last one. I might start doing that. I'm hopefully going to change it up. You know, the actual topics between each person. But what's going to happen, since there's two of you, I'm going to give each of you one of these, okay? And we can talk about it. But what's going to happen is I'm just going to say a word. It doesn't mean anything. I could say apples, and you could say I could say apples or oranges, and you could be like, I love oranges. Oranges are great. Or you could be like, banana. I love bananas. I don't actually love bananas. I hate bananas. But, you know, you could say that. That's fine. It's just a word. It doesn't mean anything.
I prefer scurvy. Scurvy's my thing.
Scurvy's great. You know, bleeding from your gums, it's great. So I'm just gonna say a word. I'm gonna do you, Daniel. I'm gonna do you first, Daniel. Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready for the word association game?
I believe I am. Yeah.
Okay. So, Black Caesar.
Oh. Oh man. Mean list.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I am amazed more people don't play Black Caesar.
I've taken him a couple times. I'm always impressed. So his force is just nice. Okay, now don't quote me on it. This is going to be embarrassing if I get it wrong, but I believe they get Ruthless, right?
Yeah.
His whole force, yeah.
Yep.
And then they also get False Colors.
They if they attack, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice list. Sorry, that's more than one word.
No, we're going to talk about it. I'm just saying, but, you know, what's your interpretation of that? But it's also one of the very few pirate lists that have access to plus on the dice when it comes to being the attacker, which I think is often understated.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting. You always assume that's one thing coming from other forces where you'll see like plus modifiers. But pirates, very few of them actually have that plus modifier, which does kind of, you know, when you have a potential of being drunk, like logwood cutters or golden age pirates, you really want that plus modifier when you don't have it. So,
which I think really lends itself to bringing a sharp-eyed lookout just to kind of help you with that role. It's another one of those things I'm surprised more people don't talk about.
I don't actually take it. Typically, I'm usually focused on, if it's a sea game, I'm always including like a master gunner. Then is it the sharpshooter? That's another like almost auto take. And then usually I have points left over for like a cook or something.
gonna say, I'm gonna look it up real quick. Actually, Sharp Eye Lookout. It's only four points. Only 4 points.
Is it? That's a bargain.
I mean, you figure if you put it on a pirate who's already 3 points, I mean, 7 points for that reroll could be pretty dynamic.
If you're going for, I mean, if you're trying to run with like false colors, like that's, if you're trying to make that work, that would really help your odds out.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Allison?
I think Allison sometimes has her list built for her. So,
do you know anything about Black Caesar in real life history?
God, no.
To be honest, I don't either, which is embarrassing.
There's not a ton known about him. He served with Blackbeard. That is something that has been pretty clearly established. There's been some, and I think I'm right on this. There's some linking to him being involved with, I believe, the Haitian rebellion when they rebel against the French. I think he's involved with that. I think maybe by accident that the character in Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I think his name is Attaway. I want to say that he's supposed to be Black Caesar.
Okay.
Because even the model looks a lot like him from the game. I don't know if that's just art imitating form or whatever, but that's something that I thought was kind of a neat little thing. So there you go. He's actually a real life pirate. He was pretty ferocious. I think that's why he's got the ruthless rule. But he was there's not a ton known about him or where he went or what happened to him, but. Yeah, really cool.
He's my ancestor because there's nothing known about him either.
He is also one of the very few fighting men that can join a pirate thing because most of the weird like commander but also fighting men in this game are mostly English, but Black Caesar can actually work for Blackbeard.
Yeah, okay.
Give somebody ruthless and all that. So it's actually, I think it's an interesting character. I'm surprised more people don't do it, but what do I?
One interesting thing is I figured out is if you really think a faction sounds really cool and it's got the keyword ruthless and you think they're good guys, don't read the history. Portuguese Bandeirantes, they were not the good guys. No one's the good guys. They were definitely not the good guys.
Yeah, let's just say there's a few bad remarks we could say about how the Europeans treated people when they decided to come over here, and we do not endorse that in any way.
Not good.
Yeah, pretty subpar behavior. Pretty non-cash money. Just put it that way.
Yeah,
as they would say back then.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. All right. Fine. I think you answered that question. Okay. So we got another word we're going to say. This time we're going to Allison. Allison, are you ready for the word association game?
Yes.
Okay. So, Anne Bonny.
Anne Bonny.
Her face just glowed up on that.
Yeah. No. Badass representative. Like, badass.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
very good. I'm a sucker for murderous women. Like, just give me more. Yeah.
My favorite part about Anne Bonny is you can't take her without her loser guy. You gotta have the loser guy or she doesn't work. But nobody even wants him as a leader. They want Anne Bonny.
Jack Rackham is in fact a doofus.
Oh, there's some larger statement that's happening there that's like overarching about like history. It's like, you get this badass person. You have to take the loser guy that is attached also.
Yeah. There's much to unpack there, but we'll leave that for our girl podcast.
Yes. Anne Bonny, association. I love women who murder, who do murders. That's cool. Yeah.
And the funny thing is Mary, I think, is usually associated more with the murdering. She's a little more ferocious. Anne was just apparently hot tempered with the red hair, I think.
I'm sorry, Anne Bonny is just a better name.
Instead of Mary Read.
Yeah, Anne Bonny is a pretty badass name. Mary Read is an okay name, but Anne Bonny is like, I feel like she's got the top name.
Have you played Jack Rackham's Crew yet, Mrs. Allison?
She has not tried it yet.
No, that's probably next time.
Yes, that's actually next up on when we're... Daniel, I'm heading
you. Yeah, I don't know when we're playing next. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
So do you guys just love using the boarding rule? Because that's my favorite rule.
So we actually, we prefer land games of all things.
Wow.
I know.
We had more fun with land games, but we have more to play. I haven't played Anne Bonny. We need to, Rexxack, words are
all fun. Of our C games do wind up with boarding, though. At the, yes. Probably usually round three, round four, that someone's boarded someone.
Yeah. So.
Yes. Yeah. No, I wish I had more to comment there. No, it's really exciting. Maybe I should try a little bit different tactic of the battering ram. With give me a boat, and I just really want to plunge it into something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I keep.
Do you have any comments on the?
I keep being told by my in-house game teacher that is not what people did with ships in that time historically.
It's not.
And that's not what we should be trying to do, that we should just get within our 4 inches and grapple them and board them. So
it's not a Terraria. It doesn't have a ram on the front of it. It's literally going to crack in half.
So I guess we can play like a Roman game.
I mean, we could. There's a new boat game that just came out recently that's like Norse Vikings and stuff. Go ahead, Danny.
So I will say the last we did a 100-point C game. And so I took Pirates and Canoes, and that was a very ram-tastic. So ramming canoes, actually a valid strategy.
Yes. Don't you have a canoe, Dylan, or do you have canoes for that carnival game?
Those are gondolas, but yes, I do have a bunch of gondolas. But we have long boats, and obviously your piragua.
My piragua, yes.
Yeah. So I will say running a fleet of just tiny boats is definitely a viable option in this game. But if you get I have rammed a boat with a ship. It ends devastatingly for the little people inside that boat. There will be many deaths. So,
but little boats can be devastated by one cannonball. Like that time you blew the sails off my piragua, it was dead in the water.
just turkey shot it until everybody was dead. Yeah, that was a good game. Anyway, but yeah, I think that wraps up pretty much everything that we were scheduled to talk about. So it's something I always like to bring up before we fully wrap up. Is there anything that you would like to say? Any closing remarks? You want to tell your mom you said hi? Anything like that, Mr. Danny?
Check out the Discord. Even if you're not a pirate, join your nation's Discord and have a good time. That's what Summer Plunder is all about, is like making a local game a global community. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. Check it out and get your sisters, your friends, and just show them some cool little figures and that they can drive a boat and get them to play.
Yeah, definitely the first time I've ever invited anybody on the podcast. And I was like, does your wife play? And he's like, no, but my sister does. And I'm like, cool, bring her.
We're all inclusive here, baby.
Yeah.
And so thank you. I'd like to thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to come and talk on our goofy little show and share experiences with this fantastic game that I think we all at least moderately enjoy. On some level.
Absolutely.
So thank you guys for listening to the show. We really do appreciate you listening to Raise the Black from Arachne. We really appreciate it when you guys listen to us. When you give us the 5-star reviews and you do all these things and you give us comments about how you enjoy it and the very long, ridiculously long-winded way of me getting to the Google reviews and all that, or I don't even know Google reviews, but the reviews on like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff. I do read them when I get them, which is not super common, but I do read them and I do giggle. There's a lot of very funny comments. You guys are a real funny bunch. You know that with your little jokes and your comments about what you say about things we do.
Literally here. Anybody so who's funny. Putting content anywhere that leaves their comments open, they're reading them. It could be like a superstar. They're reading the comments. And if you're saying nice things, it makes their day.
It does help give you the oomph to continue doing it. I'll just put it that way. But yeah, so thank you very much for listening to this. We appreciate you sharing the show, talking about the show with anybody. This community with Blood and Plunder is very, very vocal about how much they enjoy it. Every person who has reached out to me personally, I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you guys like the show. I have no intention of stopping, so there's more content to come. And of course, reach out to me if you have any ideas for shows or anything you specifically want us to talk about. Like maybe we talk about Black Caesar's Legion thing, and you know, we just really dive into it, make little lists and stuff. We just really spice it up, you know, just talk about tactics and how bad we are at this game. It's gonna be great. But yeah, thank you. So please, guys, give us those reviews, and if you can, share the show with the people that you love and the people you don't love. Maybe they'll listen to it. I don't know. So you can find me. I'm Dr. D on Discord. That's dr.d. Or you can email me at furypainting@gmail.com. Where can they reach you guys if you want them to reach you at all?
Yeah. So Discord's the best place to reach us. Just hop in on the Summer of Plunder 2025 Discord. And I'm Tinnitus Anglesmith in there. You'll see me poking around. Shoot me a message.
On there, just go with Discord. I'm Ginger Snap.
And if you guys reach out to them, make sure you tell them that their faction is a bunch of losers, because the English are going to win, and we're going to ride upon the bodies of the dead all the way up to first place, baby. And that's
no, the Pirates England are going to win.
England number one.
And you can find me on Discord. I'm Scarlet Widow, LIT. And if you need to email me, you're just going to have to send it to drd@furypainting@gmail.com.
I look at it occasionally. It's kind of hard to look at. It's such a... I can't get the notification thing to work. I don't know why. But we'd like to thank all the people in the background who help keep the podcast running. That's Kara for doing most of the editing. The lion's share of the editing. And Tim for running the network. We love him. That big bald doofus. We love him. He's a great guy. And thanks for listening, Buccaneers. Make sure you keep the wind at your back and the glint of gold to your front. We'll catch you next time. Oh, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Raise the flag and hoist the sails for the seas we roam. The cauldron bubbles, rich and warm, our hearts they call it home. We're slices from the seven seas and tales of daring flight. We toast to her, our captain true, and moon and stars so bright. Gales and waters deep, Dr. D's guidance was our guide. The Scarlet Widow, fierce and proud, with honor and with pride. Inventor of soup on the ocean vast, his name forever sung. An adventurer, a captain, a jaunty lass, upon the seas they flung.